I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back to Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell here in front of me. Will you play that clip real quick, Jeremy, that Quinn just said? Just in that Jazz update, Scott, I want you to listen to this, what Quinn Snyder said about that loss last night.
We just had multiple breakdowns over the course of the game in different capacities defensively, helping when we shouldn't have been helping, not recognizing personnel situations, not focused on the details of what we're trying to do on the defensive end. Some of it was transition. We weren't communicating and reacting collectively in a lot of half-court situations that gave them looks. Some threes where we had breakdowns. We got guys that were not supposed to leave. We find them getting shots. We're switching on to different guys.
We get it. If you followed the game on Twitter last night, like if you watched the game and then you're looking at Twitter, I mean, Jazz weren't the only ones having multiple breakdowns. People abandoned their team after nights like last night, at least temporarily. The multiple breakdowns on the floor led to multiple breakdowns by so many people, including my 13-year-old, who basically said, "Well, this team stinks," and moved on.
So was your son like help? Yeah, helping on defense when he should have stayed on his man.
His breakdown.
Don't you coach your kids better?
No,
Alex?
He was.
What are you trying to do there?
I told him yesterday, you got to help out, man. All right.
Yeah. So if guy again, that just goes back to my point.
I know.
It just like these guys are just not where they need to be, and by that I mean
you're talking
mentally.
About mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quinn's talking about like actually spacing on the floor,
but that's part of the mental. Like you got to get. Yeah. You know, if your mind is right, you're gonna know what you're supposed to do.
All right. Scott, stop talking about the Jazz, dude. Jeez.
Glad to.
Joining us right now on the program. First time guest with us, but somebody who I've followed a long time on Twitter because he's a funny follow on Twitter. And he's got a lot of info. Jeff Hansen, CougarSportsInsider.com is where you can find him, a part of the 24/7 sports family. Jeff, thanks for being on the program, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing today?
Fantastic.
We're not doing fantastic, Jeff. We're really pissed off right now. The Utah Jazz suck, and we just don't want to have to talk about it.
See, so, other than that,
life is wonderful. glad to meet you.
Yeah. we're tickled to not have to actually talk Jazz for the next 8.5 minutes. So, Jeff, yesterday, I don't know, how surprised was Cougar Nation, I guess, to see that Jackson Dart did actually throw a visit to BYU? And was it kind of a throwing BYU a bone situation, or is there a real possibility of BYU being in the mix for Jackson Dart?
I think a little bit of both, right? So the surprise came, if you followed the national headlines with Jackson Dart at all over the last couple of weeks, BYU started out kind of hot as a place that people mentioned all the time. It was a topic, a talking point for all of the national recruiting guys. And then over the last couple of weeks, everything just sort of migrated to OU and Ole Miss. And that was it. That was the talk of the town. There were articles, the national guys saying that was it. He'd whittled his list down. People around BYU had maintained contact with Jackson Dart from the minute he entered the portal, talked every day all the way up until yesterday when he had his visit. So was it a surprise for BYU fans? I think so, but I don't think that BYU themselves was surprised at all. I think they expected this. And was it a courtesy visit? I mean, maybe, but it felt like it was part of the plan for the coaches. It felt like if Jackson was going to make a decision and it was really OU or Ole Miss, why even bother wasting anybody's time at BYU? He may not choose BYU in the end, but it does feel like this was part of the plan. It just didn't get talked about on those national headlines.
So the transfer portal is fascinating to me, and I'm curious about is it for everyone? I mean, you have these, you know, so-called national power. I mean, I think of the players that have transferred in and out of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. Is it for those teams, or can other schools actually make a move and kind of turn a program around quicker because of the transfer portal?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it really depends on how it's utilized. It's tough, and I think teams are still kind of feeling themselves out. But you look at a team like BYU. They've been able to add Puka Nacua, Kingsley Suamataia. If they can add a Jackson Dart, that changes the dynamics of that roster going into 2022 and 2023 for sure, even with just those few players. That doesn't make a whole team, right? The bread and butter is still going to be high school recruiting and developing talent, but it does allow some of these small-tier schools to add a little bit of flavor to what they have already been cooking with their roster. And that makes a big difference. Now, definitely the big schools, I think they use the transfer portal to their advantage. They can kind of go and get the talented kids that they want. And then they could also go and push their kids out, right? The kids who aren't developing the way that they wanted to, or they hoped that they would when they were coming out of high school. There's a lot of people that hit the transfer portal. I think Georgia, the day after the national championship, saw seven guys enter the portal. So those teams do it's a good job, I guess, in air quotes, right? It's not a great job. It's not fun for the players, but they do a good job of managing their roster, kind of like a pro football team does, that they're going to move some guys along and go out and scan the waiver wire and get the guys that they want to come in.
Jeff, one of the things I really love that you tweeted out was, BYU fans coming at everybody who is even talking about Jackson Dart and the possibility of him coming to BYU. There's an interesting thing of, like, I don't know if it's a low self-esteem like move that I think BYU fans, you know, kind of have, which is to go, oh no, that we've already got a quarterback, man. Jaren Hall's good. You don't want to have to come in here and stir the pot up. And I think one of your responses was great, which is like, why on earth would you try to turn away a five-star Gatorade National Player of the Year because you say, no, we're good? Because BYU's never been a place, especially going into the Big 12, to say, no, we're all full up on talent here.
Right. I mean, it's insanity to even think about that, right? But like teams like Alabama, they had, Jalen Hurts and Mac Jones on their roster, and they still went out and recruited Tua Tagovailoa. If Alabama is still trying to get as much talent as they possibly can, why in the world wouldn't BYU? Why would they be the school that throws their hands up and says, no, we're full, we're good? It really is an interesting dynamic. And as I think about the transfer portal, it's genesis really came from players wanting more power, right? Players wanted to be able to enter the portal whenever they wanted. They wanted to be able to transfer without sitting out. They wanted to be able to have that freedom. Well, there's two sides to that coin. That means that teams can now bring players in that don't have to sit out. They can act like a professional team. And so the players kind of wanted this. Now they can't be offended or they can't be upset when the teams use it to their advantage and start raking in as much talent as they possibly can. And that's just something the fans are going to have to get used to. I think you're right, Alex. I don't know why, for whatever reason, BYU fans are incredibly loyal to their guys. And look, BYU has talent on the roster. Jaren Hall's great. Jacob Conover has, you know, some potential and a bright future. But you don't turn away guys like Jackson Dart. I mean, there's a very reasonable argument to be made that he's the best of those three today, even if you don't believe that, he certainly has the potential to be the future for BYU down the road, right? So how do you turn that away? You would think that BYU with the, you know, with some of the stories of guys like, you know, Jake Heaps or Tanner Mangum, you would think that they would kind of be accustomed to, hey, we need as much talent as we can, because you never know when somebody who has high expectations just isn't going to pan out like you hope.
What does BYU say to Jackson Dart then? I mean, if it's like we don't want to turn him away, how do we get him here? Do they have to make him promises to say you're going to come in and start? Or well, if you come here, you're going to have to kind of work your way in and compete? Or Jaron's our guy, and you know, we'll see where it falls. I mean, what kind of promises or kind of conversation is that would actually have him go to BYU?
Yeah, that's the tricky question right there. Is, you know, that Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss is making promises. I don't think that's Kalani Sitake's style. And I think he has proven over the course of his tenure at BYU that the best guy is going to play. I mean, he had Zach Wilson and everybody around the program going into 2020. They knew that Zach Wilson was going to be the guy, but it was still an open quarterback competition. Zach hadn't quite taken off like he did in 2020 yet. He wasn't the first round draft pick yet, but everybody in that program knew that a healthy Zach was the best quarterback. And they still went a couple of weeks into fall camp with that public narrative that it was a competition. And I truly believe that if Jaron Hall would have beaten, you know, outplayed Zach in those couple of weeks of fall camp, he would have been the guy. And so I think that's the pitch for a guy like Jackson Dart. And does he accept that, or does he take a promise? That, you know, that's up to him. But I think Kalani can say, hey, look at my track record. I don't care if there's an upperclassman who's been a multi-year starter. If a true freshman comes in and is better, he's going to play. If a newcomer like Tyson Williams comes in and he's better, we'll sit Lopini Katoa down, right, and he's, you know, he'll be the backup after that. And because he's been able to do that consistently over the course of the last few years, I think that holds a little bit more weight for Kalani than it does for some other coaches that maybe that just looks like, oh, hey, yeah, we're going to have a competition, but they don't really mean it.
Jeff, what is the pitch that BYU can make for their program versus OU and versus Ole Miss? And, you know, I think Lane Kiffin, you know, to me, when he recruits, he looks like he's trying to be the cool dad who's like, you know, this weekend with the pictures of the Aston Martin and looking like he's like, you know, he's like one of those friends, like your friend's dad who's like, hey, you guys want to go through the In-N-Out line? You know, and it just seems like it's like a cheap move by the guy.
In-N-Out is not cheap.
No. I'm just saying
recruit anybody.
Get some local dealership to throw an Aston Martin and take some lame pictures with your recruit. But in the end, what is BYU offer that would actually be attractive for Jackson Dart?
Well, I think that Aaron Roderick is the key for BYU. Roderick was one of the first guys on him, on Jackson Dart when he was still playing at Roy and before he really took off at corner his senior year. Aaron Roderick stayed on him, was happy for him when he committed to USC, and was right back on top of him when he hit the portal again. So there's a really strong relationship with Aaron Roderick, and that holds a lot of weight. That may not be enough in the end, but that holds a lot of weight. But part of that relationship that I think BYU is selling hard is that A-Rod really knows how Jackson plays, and he has proven with Zach Wilson, with Jaron Hall, and even some of the other guys who aren't NFL guys like Baylor Rahmi and even Tanner Mangum for a year, he has shown that he knows how, Aaron Roderick knows how to get the most out of his quarterbacks. Lane Kiffin's been great. When he has elite talent, he gets elite talent. But A-Rod has, I think, done a really good job of maximizing the potential, whatever it is, for every quarterback that he has had during his time at BYU. Some players haven't had the ceiling that a guy like Zach Wilson did, but every single player, I think there's an argument to be made, reached their full potential under A-Rod. And I think that is going to be the biggest pitch for Jackson Dart, for BYU and for Jackson Dart, is that, hey, you've got elite potential, and look at my track record. I can get every ounce of talent that you have in you to show up on the field, to show up on tape, so that NFL scouts are seeing it down the road. And even at a school like BYU, we've proven that when you get to that point, you can get to the NFL. And I think that's going to be the biggest pitch. And then there's all the ancillary stuff, you know, proximity to home, things like Dart does train with John Beck out in LA. He can still stay close and do some of that stuff in the off season a lot more easily than he could if he was in Oxford. So there's those ancillary pitches, but I think this one comes down to just A-Rod and Jackson talking ball like they have been doing for the last 3 years. And I think that holds a little bit more weight now that Jackson has seen kind of the lights of the big name school, and maybe his priorities have changed a little bit the second time around.
Hmm. That's an interesting thought. Actually, I like that.
That's something that you've always pointed out. Yeah. Like, A-Rod is getting guys, man. He's getting these guys.
So I'm curious, Jeff, early signing, the transfer portal, how important is the actual traditional signing day? Is it dead? Is there any value in it? Where does it stand right now?
Yeah, you know what? It kind of lost a lot of its luster with the early signing period, and I'm anxious to see if the NCAA kind of adjusts because of what has happened. I don't think this is anything that they anticipated. But coming up a couple weeks from now is the traditional signing period. It really is just kind of the celebration of all of the other guys that have signed, but now with the transfer portal, you know that class still isn't finished. There's still going to be bodies that are added after spring ball. So it is kind of just a day now that feels a little bit funny, but it is a big moment for these high school kids, and I think that's the most important part. As fans, we have a tendency to get lost in the recruiting battles, and you want as many stars as you can get on the roster, but I do like the idea of a dedicated day like signing day that is still celebrated, because it gives these high school kids a platform to really celebrate the fact that they're living out the dream that so many people had, and that's awesome. Outside of that, it really doesn't hold the weight that it once did, because the roster management is a year-round thing now, not just one day. But it is cool to have a day to celebrate these guys.
Jeff Hansen, easy enough to find him on Twitter. He's a great follow to have, too, if you're one of those BYU fans who's looking to actually kind of get the rundown on all the recruiting side of things, especially CougarSportsInsider.com. That's part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Jeff, thanks for hanging out, man. We'll love to have you back again.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
There you go. Jeff Hansen. Insightful stuff, man.
That was good.
Interesting to see what they're going to do. Interesting to see what Jackson's going to have to do, make that decision. I think being close to home, if I'm an 18-and-a-half-year-old, like, that's actually less. I actually don't. It's like, I don't want to be that close to home. That was me, though.
You know,
that was me at 18.
Lane Kiffin is hot today, but he could be cold tomorrow.
Lane Kiffin is so hot right now.
Well, he has. I mean, he's been kind of all over the place. He's been everywhere, but he hasn't really been anywhere. And Ole Miss isn't a place you're going to just win in the SEC.
Ole Miss. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the program, including around the corner. We've got our What Are the Odds segment for the day. Super Bowl question in there. BYU question in there. Utah Jazz also in there. Yeah. You're going to have to do it. Stay right here with us. More to go. Oh, before we get out, it's a new year. Maybe you're looking at sprucing up the old home on the outside there. Need a new look? RGS Exteriors can give your home that look with stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding. Get that new look for this year by calling 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors and Construction. More to go right here. It's Unrivaled 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.